Welcome to Real Women, Courageous Wisdom, a podcast featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others. Real Women, Courageous Wisdom, because every woman has a story. Welcome to Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. I'm your host, Kara Bradley. Today we have an exciting guest with us, Wendy Hall Bowling. She's a maverick, an extroverted engineer, a speaker, author, entrepreneur, queen of sass, and believer in go big or go home. Wendy is the founder and CEO of Corporate Cowgirl Up. She's got a lot to share with us about her experiences in the corporate world as a woman and how she is inspiring women to stand tall and be big. So welcome, Wendy. So great to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I know you're sort of new to Women for One, but you kind of came on the scene pretty big. Can you tell us about your experience with Women for One?
Well, I was lucky enough to meet our amazing Kelly. Everyone that meets her is she's unforgettable, right? At a workshop where we were doing a TED Talk, and she talked about what she was standing for and what she was building, and we just hit it off to the point that she suggested I get more involved, and I've loved it. I submitted to the on the site as a truth teller, and it's been fabulous getting to connect with such a group of amazing women.
Yeah, that's great. And I know you have a great story to share. And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but your story has really inspired your business and has inspired your next phase. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Totally. So growing up and starting out as an engineer with a BS in math and a master's in computer science, I worked in engineering for 20 years at huge telecom companies, AT&T, Bell Labs, Lucent, and Avaya. While I was after about 20 years, I ended up going through a pretty traumatic experience where I was involved with a tremendous program where I was speaking as a member of the engineering group and as an engineering director in R&D to some of the top 10 accounts that we had out in the market, and went through an experience with a sales director where he harassed me and his own sales manager. We were in different silos of the organization, me in engineering, he in sales, and he was actually a level below me, but he asked if me and the other woman over a lunch on the customer site would have a three-way, and if he could videotape it, and he just went down the path. And being in engineering where engineers can't look you in the eyes, much less the other places, I just hadn't experienced that blatant of any kind of harassment. It was easy for me to get out of it because he wasn't in my direct any kind of organizational structure. But the woman who I'd gotten pretty close to who reported to him, she couldn't report it. I suggested she do it. And instead, she ended up leaving the company. She said she didn't have another choice. I reported it, and for 18 months, I was retaliated against until they walked me out of the company after being there for 20 years. And it brought me to my knees, Kara. It was one of those things where I'm a pretty tough, kind of spunky, I think of myself as confident, but it really set me back. And I was at a pretty low point. You start to believe there's something really wrong with you. It's staying in those bad places for so long that it doesn't serve you. And hindsight is always 20/20, but I was lucky enough to take 6 months off at the time and try to get my proverbial shit back together. And and I went through at one of the low points. I think I was kind of fighting through some depression from the situation. Went and looked at legal action and all of that, but ended up not. Because living well is the best revenge. It's such a negative influence in your life. And so I was feeling sorry for myself watching a movie about Lane Frost called 8 Seconds. And there's one piece where he gets bucked off. And I heard for the first time the words cowboy up, you know. And I thought, that's exactly what I need to do. I need to cowgirl up. And so I ended up getting the idea to write based on this. And I wrote the first chapter called Integrity, the Barbed Wire of Business, about what happened to me. And so the book is I'm about ready to finish it, but it's called Cowgirl Up, A Woman's Guide to Navigating the Corporate Frontier. And I built a business around it because of the whole in unconscious bias and the idea that men, to be honest, are not they are the gatekeepers, but it's not about blaming men, and it's not about actually trying to get women to be more like men. It's about us understanding each other and getting to a different place where we're advocates for the combined complement that comes from us working together.
Wow. That's all I have to say. Wow. I love the expression. I love the title of the book the first time I read it. Because it gives me this sense of like giddy up, you know, it's this yeah. So it has a lightness to it, which I love about the way you're speaking is it this isn't about hatred. This isn't about victimhood. This is about, come on, let's get up and let's do this together, but we've got to understand each other. And
Exactly.
yeah, I'm so glad that you're, you know, I feel so grateful that you're doing this in the world and helping women in the corporate world and beyond. Yeah.
Well, Kara, it's been quite the journey because a lot of things came together. You know, us as type A women, we can kind of push through almost anything.
What are you
And
saying there? Wait, are you saying that
I already know. I
You
already know type A.
are. By the way,
Yeah.
everybody, she's met me for, you know, 10 minutes and she's already pegged me as type A.
Totally. And said with the most loving grace about that, right? So I was lucky enough, and one of the things I found and I'm so inspired about is really getting to your best place. As women, we tend to get into tough situations and just put our shoulders down and push through it. And so I'll say this, lucky enough to be let go from a healthcare IT company around April 1st. And I actually interviewed for three VP of sales positions in a couple of technology companies that all seemed good until I got to the CEO interviews. And it was like being punked. In each one, there was an attitude there that you could see now that you're a wiser, older, a female professional woman that I thought, I'm not sure I want to be doing this again. And so it was like I have a strong faith. It was like I was getting these messages that maybe I should move to doing some of this to finish the book, which I've been working on for years. And because it happened 10 years ago. And to really, I've gotten to such a great place in those 10 years since this happened to me. I've moved from telecom to healthcare IT. I've moved from engineering and being an extroverted engineer into sales. And I've been so blessed with what I've gotten out of that journey that it was like I was being called. So the same week that I was told and knew that this was coming, that I would look for a new job. One of the companies I was a member of, I ended up getting a severance, a buyout, and a big check, pretty good check that would allow me to take the time to actually finish the book.
Wow.
And so I've spent the last months doing it, and it's come so clear that this gender equality issue that we've been fighting for so long, there's a different way to approach it. And with my product background and my sales background, I might just be the exact right person to come at it a different innovative way, and with some different innovative, authentic discussions with men and women at the table, and do some consulting to change the whole layout of what our corporate landscape looks like. So I know that sounds crazy and big, but you know.
Be big, absolutely. That's fantastic. This is really exciting. There's possibilities are just endless, you know, for your work. Can you tell us, give us a little bit of advice? Because I'm sitting here saying, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Right. And a lot of the book is laid out that way. It's so interesting because I think one of the biggest pieces that I've found is that we as women, there's an idea and it's kind of an interesting approach and an attitude that sometimes our biggest, what are perceived by the outside world as our biggest weakness can be our biggest strength. For me, I'll give you an example of this, and sometimes coming to terms with that is one of the biggest ahas we can have. So for instance, for me, being an extroverted engineer and being in the R&D community in telecom, it was, oh, Wendy, you're a little too pushy. You're a little too out there. You come up with these crazy ideas. Well, when I moved into sales and with my feet dragging, my boots were dragging on the ground as I'm being asked to go into sales because it was such a click for me and something that just clicked. I got to tell you, it was like coming out of the closet. And so I realized that this thing that I had kind of been pushing down of who I was actually serving me in such a bigger way in business if I embraced it. So I ask people a lot, are you successful in the current place you're at in spite of who you are or because of who you are? And I get a lot of these looks like I had never thought of it that way.
So you realize that you were successful in spite of who you are. Is that correct?
A long time. I was for the first 20 years. And then it was because of who I've picked cultures now that fit me in the corporate jobs I've had since, in the startup jobs, or in even when I created my own, I founded a healthcare IT company with a group of partners. That was creating a culture that was taking advantage of who I was. And hopefully me in roles where it was a 1+1=3 with the rest of my executive team, right?
Yeah. So your advice to women then is to really sit with for me to sit with myself and to really examine what I perceive as my weaknesses or.
And look at exactly and look at what to be strength finders is a great way to figure out what you're good at and you're able to leverage those things. The other things is being clear about your values. I interviewed a woman executive yesterday that was a CFO of one of the top telecom companies here in Denver. And she realized she hadn't been authentic. She wasn't able to be authentic. And in her being who she was and bringing that to the executive leadership team that was really masculine, negative masculine. And she realized she had done herself a disservice in the role she was in. So looking at, do you fit? What is a place you have fit in the past? And how can you find a role, either nonprofit, working, building your own business or a corporate role. I think they do exist, but be clear about those cultures and whether you fit in them.
That fits your strength. Yeah. And so for those of you out there who aren't familiar with Strength Finders, it's I did the I read the book and did the test at the back or on the online is a great way to really assess your strengths. It's a very extensive questionnaire, if I recall, but that may be something if you're intrigued by this all to look into out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how about something else? Is there something else that is, say, part of your book or part of your program or a big aha that you had as well that has helped other women?
Well, it's funny you'd say this because one of the biggest things I've done in this last research around the book is the male and female brain differences and neuroscience-wise, how are we different and how can this help us to become aware and to actually understand each other better. So one of the feedback I got from a lot of women when I asked the questions, what do you like about working with women or what don't you like, was I hate that women are catty or I hate that women cry. It makes us look weak, right? And so I went and did the research and said, why do we cry so much easier than men, it seems like. And I found there's actually two biological reasons. We have how we're built and how our how blood flows in our brains that make us more empathetic. And so it's easier to cry. You know, things trigger us quicker than men. And secondly, our tear ducts are actually created larger. So you can't help but cry. And I know that's a simplistic example, but it was one that was like, aha, if men could understand this and we could share this information with them, it wouldn't be, what is wrong with those women always crying? Yeah. You know, it could be, oh, this is how they respond to anger and to being frustrated, or how they're just more sympathetic and empathetic, right?
Yeah. And so it's a understanding our emotions, our emotional intelligence. And thank you for clearing that up. So now I know why I, you know, cry at sappy commercials. You know, it's like I cry all the time.
And Kara, I have now gotten to the place where crying has been actually a good tool to show how approachable and authentic I've been in leadership when it was appropriate. But also my whole push right now is my target around crying is not to cry, but to cry without blubbering. And as I grew up, why don't you try to cry pretty? So none of this, but more I can talk and have a couple tears and it's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And not to beat yourself up about it and to say, this is who I am. And this, you're lucky to have me because I am empathetic and I do care about you as a person and not just a cog in the big corporate wheel.
Yeah, that I have a good friend who is a CEO to thousands. And I asked her once what was one of the things that she feels most female executives long for. And she said, without skipping a beat, it would be to take the suit off once in a while. Just to be able to take that masculine suit off of armor, you know, obviously we're talking about not a real suit, but to be able to just stand in the feminine and use those qualities because incredibly creative qualities. And I love your whole mission to really merge the two so that the two can work together, because that creative energy it has worked, but it could work so much better.
Exactly. And I talk about in the book the feminine and masculine energies, and I talk about situations where it's all women and it's you go to the negative feminine, or today's business is mostly negative masculine. You know, we're gonna kill this new project. It's all, you know, aggressive and it's all, no, we don't show any emotion kind of atmosphere, right? And women can bring such a complementary approach to that.
Yes. Well, I run a business, a yoga center. I have a yoga center with about 45 employees and mostly women. And it has been such an incredible school for me. I've made every mistake in the book, I tell people, you know, and because it's a yoga business, people, especially, you know, the people that work with me, you know, it has this stigma, oh, but it's yoga. You know, we should all be always so grateful and so open. And yet, you know, I'm the one that has to pay the rent at the end of the month and pay the payroll and all that. And it's been such, I've had to really, really dig deep so often and walk a very fine line of staying true to our mission of what we do, but also keeping it a viable business, because at the end of the day, you know, if you can't pay the rent, you have no yoga. So it's, you know, I feel like I'm walking on a balance beam most of the time, and I've fallen off a lot.
And you need to bring those masculine traits or that masculine energy that you possess, because we all possess both. It can be a little off-putting, right? But talking about it in a very open and, to be honest, direct way, it can really help people to understand how that's needed and it's actually helping in the situation to make you all successful. And I think that's the biggest piece. I have some examples in the book I use of actual negotiation meetings where how there were men approaching it with kind of push through and get it done, and the women's ability to actually step back and be able to look at all the pieces of the facial expressions, who wasn't on board in the for the customer, and seeing, ooh, I think we have a problem here, actually could save a deal because the men just didn't pick up on it, right? And it's both of those sides that you need. And I think what you're saying, Kara, is even in our own individual pieces as leaders, we need the masculine and the feminine too inside ourselves. And sometimes I get a little too pushy and the masculine is like, now simmer down there, cowgirl. And then other times it's, oh my goodness, I am way too soft on the soft side. We've got to bring this back, right? So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Hey, do I have your permission to start calling myself a cowgirl?
You do.
I love it.
Got the cowgirl in us.
I love it. So I have a final question for you, Wendy, because we could sit here and talk all day, I'm sure. Could you have a word of wisdom, just like a little nugget that you can leave us, whether we're in the corporate world or a stay-at-home mom or we're in nonprofit or volunteering, whatever we do with our daily lives. Do you have something that we could step forward into our day with today based on your experience and teaching?
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. This is life.
And I love Apple because it's so I think the biggest thing I've looked at is I see a lot of women who are hesitating to step into the next big place they're supposed to be. And to even they're in a tough situation and to be authentic and walk the talk and to speak up about it and take that risk. So if not me, who? If not now, when?
Love it. Love it. Thank you. And thank you for having the courage to use this story that happened to you, that kind of knocked you to your knees, and to just bring it forward into the world to help us all. Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed Wendy. I know I did. And cowgirl up is all I have to say. So thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Kara.